జయ శుపాల పరమహంస పరపరాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాలకి జయం నఖిలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాల పరమహంస పరిప్రాజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాలకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌడ భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామ గుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామకి మాయపూర్ధామికి మధురపురిధామికి జగన్నాథ్ పరిధామికి ద్వారకా పరిధామికి గంగమాయికి యమున మాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరవ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువైన గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శిశీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ బహుదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నిరామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మా ఉద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్తవ జాయదే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరద చాతేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాత్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయా తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త గుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కింమావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యమనుద్యదేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగాభువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రప్రజందం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహదాదరమజుహవ ఉత్రేది తన్మయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోన్నం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేత్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తిః కళవేణుకుణితాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతాం మురారేర్మధురీం నాకనికాపి కాపి కాపి ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురతో మమ. మోహం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Yesterday, Uddhava's question about the Prakriti and Purusha, material nature and Purusha, Krishna, that relationship, Krishna has started explaining to Uddhava. He said to him that this esha vaikarika sargo gunam vyadhikaralmaka prakriti pur in the Shri Bhagavan Vacha 29th verse prakriti purushas cheti vikalpam purusharshabha esha vaikarika sargo gunam vyadhikaralmaka. Krishna says that purusha and prakriti, this difference exists because గుణం వ్యతికరాత్మకం ఏష సర్గ వైకారిక భవతి. దట్ మీన్స్ ది దిస్ శరీర సంఘాతం. శరీర సంఘాతం మీన్స్ దిస్ బాడీ విత్ మైండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈగో సెన్సెస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ హోల్ థింగ్ టుగెదర్ ఈ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు ఈ హస్ కమ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది అజిటేషన్ ఇన్ ద మోడ్స్ అజిటేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది three modes of material nature. From the agitation of the three modes of material nature, this sharira sankhatam, sharira sankhatam means this combination of various bodies, subtle body, causal body and the gross body, these combined together has come into existence, Krishna is saying there. And then he also mentioned that there is variegatedness in the body, in the body, isn't it? So due to maya, which is three modes of material nature, through the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, creates these differences in the bodies, and accordingly the variation in the intelligence also, in the intelligence also. So generally Krishna mentions that this transformation of the bodies is normally in three categories. Adhyalpam, Adhibhutam, and Adhidevam, which we discussed yesterday. And he spoke about that, and finally he said, Yosau, in the 32nd verse, Gunakshobakrutau Vikaraha, Pradhana Mulan Mahada Prasudaha, Aham Trivranmoha, Trivranmoha Vikalpahedu, Vaikarikam Tamasam Aindriyascha. So this Satya Rajasa Tamasam, the three modes, which makes the breaks up the ahankaram, false ego, into three, due to that, the where, from where, from Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam has come. Ahankaram, Ahamtattvam has come from Mahatattvam. That Ahamtattvam has broken up into three, Satyam, Rajasam and Tamasam. And that Ahankaram, which has broken up into three, has caused this avidya or ajnanam or this variegatedness or variations among the living entities, among the living entities. So there Krishna mentions one verse. If you look into the 33rd verse, you will see that although there is ajnanam there, so you can see from where avidya begins. Avidya begins right from that stage. Which stage? When three modes of material nature came into contact with ahankaram, false ego, ahankaram, and ahankaram broke up into three, satvika, rajasa, tamasam. With the result of that, everything else is also broken up, which we have seen, mind, intelligence, ego, and also all the five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. Everything breaks up into three, and due to that, because everything breaks up into three, all under the effects of modes of nature, three modes of material nature, therefore you get this variations in the creation. Everybody is different, every individual is different, every species is different, and male-female differences, all kinds of differences has come due to that. Krishna is saying that. That means from when Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam was born, and Ahamtattvam came into contact with the three modes of, with Maya, Ahamtattvam in contact with Maya created the three modes, in other words, three modes of material nature came into contact with Ahamtattvam, Ahankaram, and that split into three, Satya Ahankaram, Rajasa Ahankaram, Tamasa Ahankaram, and Satya Ahankaram mind has come, from Rajasa Ahankaram senses have come, and Tamasa Ahankaram the body has come. And along with that, variations in the modes of nature, various species are born, various consciousnesses developed in the people's subhavam, and therefore all this variegatedness, Krishna said. And then finally he says, because it has started from there, then how to come out of it? He said that ajnanam has to go, and that will only happen through knowledge. Krishna says that will only happen through knowledge. Alma parijnanamayo vivado Astiti nastiti vidartha nishta vyarthobi naivo parameda pumsam matta paravarta dhiyam swalokad. Krishna says matta paravarta dhiyam swalokad. He says matta paravarta dhiyam swalokad, that swalokad matta paravarta dhiyam pumsam vyarthobi saha naivo uparameda. That Sulogat Mataparavartadhyam. That means Krishna is Pratyagalpma. Inward it is. Krishna is inside. Inward looking. That's where you find him. Those who are looking inwards will find him there. But those who have gone outwardly looking outwards, for them, although it is false, this ahankaram, but that will not go away because of their outward looking nature. And this swapnam, this dream, although it is mithya, it is false, still it damages. It is very damaging. Krishna says creates problem. Similarly, ahankaram, false ego, is also, it is false. But till we wake up from, we get rid of that through knowledge, when that ego gets dissolved through knowledge, when the knowledge removes it away from inside, Krishna says, it till this ahankaram is still a trouble. It's troublesome, he says. Ahankaram is still troublesome. That is why when Krishna said, Matta paravartadhiya, Uddhava says, Totta paravartadhiya. You will see those two verses if you look. Krishna is saying, Matta paravartadhiyam swalokat. Uddhava is saying, Totta paravartadhiya, Sugrudai karma bhi prabho. Uccha vachan yatha dehan, grinandi visrajanti cha. Tan mama kya hi govinda. Then he say, Durvi bhavyam analma bhi. Nahi that prayasho loge vidvamsa sandhi vanchidaha. Addressing Krishna, he says that totta paravarta diya means that whose intelligence has gone away from you, from them, then what is their destiny? That the old destiny they have is that according to their karma they have to keep taking birth and go through this cycle of birth and death. That's all Uddhava says, is it not? But it is impossible to understand this whole thing. Uddhava says to him, Tan mama kya hi govinda durvibhavyam analmabhi. It is difficult to understand, therefore, how did this happen? Tahyeda prayasha loge vidvamsa santi vanchidaha. This changes or this transmigration of the soul from one body to another, based on their karma, how does this work within this prakriti? Uddhava is asking. So when Krishna said, Matta paravartadhiyam solokat, Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying, Totta paravartadhiya sukhudai karma bhi prabho, uchavachan yatha dehan grihanandi visrajandhicha. And in answer to that, Krishna said, it is possible because of the adhyasam or identification with the subtle body. Linga sharira adhyasam, it is called. And that is what yesterday we discussed. Manakarmamayam ranam indriyai panchabir yutam. Loka lokam prayatyanya alma tadanu vartade. Based on the karmam and based on that karma vasana which creates the mind and all the senses, panchabir yutam, loka lokam prayatyanya. It travels from one planet to another, one species to another, but alma tadanu vartade. The Atma, the soul follows that. Soul follows that transmigration. And Krishna started explaining that process afterwards. So, yesterday we talked all that and also mentioned that ultimately this experience of Purusha and Prakriti, how Prakriti dissolves in the Purusha. And Krishna used a word Vaikarika Sargam. Vaikarika Sargam means that Vaikarika Sargam is Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, Ahankaram, Panchatanmatras, Shabdasparsharupam, Rasam, Gandham. All of that Krishna is saying there that this is all Maya. This is all Maya. And in that Maya, which is known as the creation process, inside that a false ego builds up. False ego builds up. So, Maya Mahatattvam, from where does it come? It means that I am there, you are there, he is there, she is there. Like that, these are all Tripudi. Krishna uses the word Tripudi. And it came like in the dream and it has disappeared, isn't it? It has disappeared. For example, all our identities, what we have now, it comes and goes, it doesn't stay, any identity for that matter. Because it's all based on the ahamtattvam, ahankaram. I am the body, I am the ego inside. It's based on that I, you, he, she, they, all these variegatednesses come from that ahamtattvam, So, but at the same time, we want to know the truth. We want to get to the truth of the whole thing. But we wandered around in this various identities. We have been wandering around in this various identities, and we got tired. Wandering in these various identities, isn't it? Every time when you get a particular body, you start the inquiry about the self. But then it fails because there is no proper knowledge and there is no proper upasana from our side. And we leave it. And then another body comes, again we continue the inquiry, we leave it. So this situation that till that knowledge of the self develops within who we are, that which means that tribhuti breaks away, tribhuti goes away, that jiva separate, ishvara separate, jagat separate, jiveshvara jagat, three things, living entity, jiva, and the world, creation, jagat, and ishvara, the supreme lord. All these differences disappears, and then when you inquire, you find there that only what exists is atma. What exists is there only atma. We gave the example also that from the sea, ocean comes the waves, and then the foam and the bubbles and all that, and also comes the steam. All these are variations of the same water in the sea. Water in the sea. So ultimately, what is the wave? Wave is also water. Ocean is water, and the bubbles are water. Everything is water. And the snake, just like the example, snake also, eventually we realized it is a rope. And similarly, the earthen pot is made of earth, made of earth. Similarly, when you keep looking, what is the substance with which all this creation has been made, you start hearing that everything is atma. Everything is atma. Just like the water transforms itself into waves and the bubbles and the foam and steam and everything, in the same way clouds, everything is formed from the water. Similarly, in the creation, everything what you see is ultimately nothing but a transformation of the atma, of the soul. And what we see here is just like in the background of the ocean, all these things have happened, transformation has happened. Similarly, in the background of the spirit, of the soul, that all these things are coming up, disappearing, coming up, disappearing. So, but at the same time, the living force, Chaitanyam, that doesn't have any changes. It doesn't have any changes. It remains as it is. Therefore, they say that actually there is no creation here. And there is no maintenance. There is no destruction either. Upanishad says like this. Na nirodha, na ulpatihi, na bandaha, na cha sadagaha, na mamukshuhu, ityesha paramarthadaha. Upanishad says, na nirodha, na ulpatihi, na there is no dissolution, there is no creation, and there is no bondage, there is no liberation, there is no person who is doing the sadhana, there is no anyone who is looking for liberation, ityesha paramarthadaha. After hearing this, one should not think mistakenly that, now there is nothing to be done. That is not what it means. What Krishna is saying here is, in the realized state, when we become realized, when we realize the self, at that time, this is what he experiences. That his understanding means, his experience of the world changes. Experience of the world changes. Today we experience through the mind and the senses, and we are stuck in that. Krishna is saying here that in that great ocean of liberation, that is known as Chit Samudram or Chit Shakti, there so many things are happening and they are disappearing, appearing and disappearing. And nothing is changing the background, which is the Atma, in Atma. And the nature of the Atma is that it is always knowledge and bliss, and it is eternal. So, if you recognize that, then we will realize eventually that there is no such thing called creation, there is no such thing called maintenance, or there is no such thing called dissolution. These are all relationship with the self-realization Krishna is talking about. But the moment you recognize material nature, prakriti, if you accept prakriti, Krishna says there is creation, there is maintenance, there is dissolution. So yesterday you saw Krishna is actually saying in the highest state there is no Prakriti, only Purusha. Atma alone exists. Isn't it? Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindati sa ashubhrashade sortal asatyam abhiniveshada. Vishwam yagalmagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. He says. So finally Krishna gives that statement that only Vishwam is made of only Atma, nothing else. But if you recognize, so long as we are in the grip of Prakriti, material nature, or we accept Prakriti's existence as we do now, in that situation all these things exist. Which one? Liberation, bondage, sadhana, and person who is performing sadhana, and creation, maintenance, dissolution, and everything, and bondage, liberation, all these things exist when you accept Prakriti. When Prakriti disappears, all these things disappears. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then, till that time, if you recognize Prakriti, continuously these three things will continue to exist. Which one? Creation, maintenance and dissolution. So, that is why if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, how Pippalayana Maharshi explained that in the Bhagavatam, you can see this. That when there is Prakriti, all these things exist. Once Prakriti goes, then they don't exist. But Prakriti doesn't go very easily. That means, when you are released from Maya, these things will go away. That is the point Krishna is making there, which is the same thing what Pippalayana Maharshi told to King Nimi. If you look into the third, fourth, if you look into third chapter, Pippalayana Maharshi's words, 35, verse 35, famous verses. Krishna, that king asked, which King Nimi asked, Narayana Abhidanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishta Markadano Vaktum Uyam Hi Brahmavitama. So he says, you are Brahmavitama, that means in self realization or Brahman realization, you are on the top of the list. Although earlier in the Bhagavatam it says Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shadyade. Like that, Brahmam, Narayana, Paramatma, they are all one. They are all one. Although it's spoken like that, in this place, in this question, the king is asking, although it just been spoken that Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they are all one, in all these three, actually, are they talking about the same Brahmam? Nirvishesha Brahmam. Or is there any speciality with this Brahmam? That is what the question was. So, Brahmam, who is the Supersoul Antaryami, who is addressed as Narayana or Krishna, his Swarupam, his nature, explained to us, said King Nimi. King Nimi said that to the Navayogis, the nine sages, isn't it? So Pippalayana Maharshi was the personality who answered that question among the nine sages. Kavi Hari Andariksha Prabuddha Pippalayan Avirhota Drumila Chamasa Karabhajana. Nine personalities. Out of that, Pippalayana Maharshi answered that question. Question was this. Question is also a very good question because it's a very interesting in the sense that when we say that vadandidat tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabjade. In the beginning of the Bhagavadam, it was said that same truth vadandidat tattvavidam. Tattvam it says about that tattvam is known by the tattvavid. Those tattvavids are saying vadandidat tattvavidam, that tattvam, yel jnanam advayam. It is advaya jnanam. It says like that, isn't it, in that verse. Advaita Jnana means non-dual knowledge. There is no two things, there is only one thing, and that is knowledge. Knowledge which is one. One, it says here. Tattva Yajnanam Advayam. Yajnanam. Advaita Jnanam is the nature of the Tattvam. That is what is spoken by the Tattvavit. That's what it says. Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. And that Advaita Jnanam is referred by the transcendentalists who are in the spiritual path in three different ways. What's that? Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. That was spoken in the second chapter of the first canto. Isn't it? Here, Nimi is asking to these nine sages, Navayogis, Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtam Arhadano Vaktum Yuyam Hi Brahmavitama. That Brahma, Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan, it was said like that, isn't it? That Brahmam, which is known as Antaryami or Paramatma, who is called by the name Narayana, in the Vedam, the word Narayana is used. Vedam always uses the word Narayana. In the Vedam, it is that's how it's addressed. So, who is addressed as Narayana and who is Brahmam, but is also known as Paramatma or Antaryami inside. Can you explain to us his Swarupam, his real identity? Again, the same question has come. Because Yuyam Brahmavitama Bhavati, that you are all Brahmavitamas, you are all the realized souls, and you are top among the realized souls. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. That means Brahmam, which is Sachidanandam, Satta Chitta Anandam is Brahmam. And Brahmam, Narayana, Paramatma, they are all one. But all these three things, are they referring to one thing, Nirvishesha Brahmam? Or is there any speciality with that? That was the question. So, what did Pipalayana Maharshi say? Pipalayana Vacha Stityulbhava Pralaya Hedura Hedurasya Yal Sotna Jagara Sushuptishu Salbahishcha Dehendriya Sukhrdayani Charandiyena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. That is how he answered. You can see how the answer is structured. He has not eliminated anything. Everything is included in that one verse. He says here, Stiti asya Stiti ulbhavam pralayam hetuhu swayam cha ahetuhu Narayana iti parameva tattvam avehi. He says, he is the cause of creation, maintenance and dissolution of all these different universes, billions of universes. He is the cause of that. But Stiti ulbhavam pralaya hetu. But he is ahetu, ahetu rasya. And that Narayana on his own, he is not the cause. He is not the cause of it himself. That is that relationship. He is the cause, but he is not the cause. That's how it's spoken. That Stiti ulbhavam pralaya hetu ahetu rasya. He is the cause of all these things. Which one? Creation, maintenance and dissolution. He is the cause of all the things. But he is not. And he is called Narayana. Narayana. Because Sutna Jagara Sushuptishu Behishcha Yatsat Tad Brahmedi Parameva Tattvam Vidhi. Who is present in these three states? Which three states? Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep state. And in the samadhi state, who is present all the time, know that vastu, who is present in all these three states and who follows in the realized state also, that is the absolute truth, says Pipalayana Maharshi. And he says, Dehendriyasu Hridayani Yena Sanjeevidani Charandi Tat Paramatmedi Parameva Tattvam Avehi. And it is only his presence in the body which causes the body, the senses, the prana, the life air, and the subtle body, all of them to operate. If that Krishna is not present inside, so you can see here that connection between the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. What is that relationship? Krishna enters into every body, every living entity, wherever there is living being, Krishna enters into that and he keeps the body going. In other words, body functions because of Krishna's presence inside. And that is the Paramatma, Antaryami's role. Krishna does that. And he says here that mind, body, senses and prana, subtle body, everything, all operates, all functions because of Krishna's presence inside. Krishna's presence inside. And that is the Antaryami or Paramatma form of Krishna. And on the other hand, in Swapnam, Jagrat and Sushupti, in those three states also, and in the deep sleep state, vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, and also when you move on to the realized state, he still remains. He doesn't go away. He remains in all the three states, plus he remains in the realized state also. That's him. That's him. And then he says here also, for creation, maintenance and dissolution, everything happens and from because of his presence. But because it is due to his presence it happens, but on his own he is not responsible for that. Therefore, and he is addressed at that time as Narayana. As Narayana. So due to as the cause of creation, maintenance, dissolution, he is addressed as Narayana. And due to being present in all the three states of existence, he is called Brahman. And due to his presence inside every living entity and keeps that body to operate, means to function, body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything to function, he is addressed as Paramatma. He is addressed as Paramatma or Antaryami. That is what it mentions here. That when they asked a question, who is Krishna, who is Bhagavan? So, first of all he says, Srishti Sthiti, that means creation, maintenance, dissolution. Srishti Sthiti, Samharam. The cause of that is that Purusha, Krishna. And when you look at him, when you look at Krishna, he is Ahedu. He is Ahedu, he is not the cause. Actually, Srishti Sthiti Samharam, everything happens due to him. But if you look at him, he is not the Hedu. How will you realize him? Yasvapna Jagara Sushuptisho Salbahishchaham. Because in all the three states, creation, vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, all the three states, he is present there and there is no change in him, in the awareness. In the form of awareness, he is present there. And there is no change in him. And Krishna says here, Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandiyenam. Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandiyenam. But if he is not there, if Atma, Narayana or Krishna, if he is not there, none of them will work. Which one? Pranan won't work. Senses won't work, mind won't work, intelligence won't work, but they are all working due to his presence. Hridayam vicharanti yena sanjeevayanti sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendram. So, in whose presence everything happens, know that living force as Narayana says. That is the Swarupam, that is the identity of Narayana. So, that is how we have to understand Krishna. We have to understand Krishna in that way. That all these has to be reconciled. That you have to accept that Krishna's presence only due to that the body is functioning. Otherwise, no living being can function. There is no gross body, there is no subtle body, there is no this interaction between gross body and subtle body and causal body. All these things are happening because of the presence of Andaryami, which is Krishna. Then, in all the three states also, waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, he is present. And he is also present when you get released from the three modes of material nature, and then you become realize the self, he is still present there. So in all the three states he is present, and in the creation he is present in all the different living entities also. And Krishna also says, Pipalayana Maharshi says there, Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, that means creation, maintenance and dissolution, he is the cause of that, but he is not actually the cause, because he does not interfere in that. In his presence it happens. In his presence Maya does all these things, but his presence is necessary. His presence is necessary. In his absence Maya can't do it. That's the way it is. In his presence Maya can do the creation. Therefore he doesn't get directly involved in the creation. Just being present, Maya will create, Maya will maintain, Maya will dissolution will all happen. When Maya disappears, all these things disappears along with that. Then only he remains, Krishna remains. So that is that interesting thing what he brings out in that verse. So you can understand from this that who is Krishna then? Krishna is Purusha or Ishvara. At the same time, Krishna is also Prakriti, isn't it? Krishna is also Prakriti. He is Prakriti as well as Purusha. That is the point Krishna is making. Because Prakriti can't do anything without Krishna's presence. Krishna's presence, Prakriti operates, in other words. So if it has to be complete, you require both Purusha as well as Prakriti. And Prakriti has got all confusions in there. Because Prakriti is Krishna's Shakti, is his power, isn't it? And if you leave that power and you turn your attention towards the Chaitanyam or the living force, there is no confusion. All the confusion is in the Prakriti, not in the Purusha. In the Purusha there is no confusion. All the confusion is in the Prakriti. So, in the Purusha there is no creation. There is no maintenance, there is no dissolution, none of that. That is Chitsarupena Avatishtati. Chitsarupena Avatishtati. That is only Chitshakti. Nothing else exists there. And that, knowing that Chitshakti, not knowing Prakriti, knowing that Chitshakti is called self-realization. It's called self-realization. But after realizing that Chitshakti, or realizing the self, when you see that, when you look at Prakriti after that, what do you see? You see in the Prakriti all kinds of movements happening, but all the movement is due to the presence of Chaitanyam or the living force or the living force. So, without Chaitanyam, without that living force, without presence of Krishna, Prakriti cannot function. Prakriti cannot function. So, inside Prakriti, what exists then? All that exists inside Prakriti is living force, Chaitanyam, in other words, Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is the only thing that existing in the Prakriti. This is the principle. In order to explain this principle is Lord Narasimha's appearance. You see, from that pillar, Narasimha came, isn't it? Narasimhamurti jumped after the pillar. We enjoy the story side of it, that he can appear from a pillar. He has been, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, can you find him easy everywhere, he asked, isn't it? What did Prahlada say? Yes, he is there. He is everywhere, he said. Prahlada is realized, so he is saying the same thing. Prahlada is saying, there is nothing exists without him. So, top realization Prahlada had. Prahlada is saying that there is no such thing called Prakriti, only he is there. In his presence only Prakriti is doing all this kind of things. Whereas Hiranyakashipu is seeing only Prakriti, not Krishna. Prahlada is seeing only Krishna, not the Prakriti. So when Hiranyakashipu tried to torture Prahlada, Prahlada is only seeing Krishna in everything. This is that different. That's exactly this what he is talking about here. In Prahlada's vision, only Krishna exists. Atma, Purusha exists. Prakriti doesn't exist for him. Hiranyakashipu's vision, only Prakriti exists. Purusha doesn't exist for him. Two opposing elements, isn't it? Situation. Prahlada is realized. Prahlada knows Prakriti cannot function on its own without Purusha. That is because he so realized that point, it didn't disturb him when Prakriti started attacking him in different forms. Remember, when Hiranyakashipu arranged elephants to kick Prahlada and powerful snakes to bite him, thrown away from the top of the mountains, and he was poisoned by many ways. In all these situations, Prahlada was not disturbed at all, wasn't it? In the devotee language, what do we say? Devotee's language will say, Krishna has protected him. In the jnani's language, what it is, Prahlada knew, realized the truth. Truth, only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists. Only spirit exists. Only Atma exists. Prakriti cannot function in the absence of soul. Prakriti. In the absence of Purusha. So, this what he is talking about, that Sanjeevitani, this one verse is explaining Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu properly. This Sthiti, Ulbhavam, the way, if you want to understand that Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, this is that verse to explain that. Stityulbhava pralaya hetu rahetu rasya yal svapna jagara susuptu sval bahischaham dehendriya sukhrdayani charandiyena sanjeevidani tadavehi param narendra. That is that verse. What he is saying there is that this creation, Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, where does it happen? In the Prakriti. Who does it? Prakriti does it. But Prakriti can't do it on her own. Unless Krishna is present, Narayana is present. So, in one sense, he is the cause. In another sense, he is not the cause. Prakriti is the cause. But in his absence, Prakriti can't do it. That's what that is. Similarly, he says, in Sutna Jagara Sushruptishu Sal Bahischa, waken state, dream state, deep sleep, he is present inside. And he is also present in the realized state. It's only he is present in all the three plus one, four states. Fourth one is not a state, that is actually what we are. The three are the states. So, Sutna Jagara Susruptishu Sad Bahischa, Dehendriyasu Hadayani Charandiyena. And then, as Antaryami inside everyone's body, he keeps this body, like he does with the Prakriti, he does with us also. If he is not there, our eyes won't work, our mind won't work, our intelligence won't work, our senses won't work, body won't work, nothing will work in his absence, just like the Prakriti. So, Prakriti can only function in Krishna's presence. And therefore, but when you finally realize the truth, what happens? Prakriti doesn't exist because Prakriti dissolves in the Purusha finally. And when it is dissolved, that state is Krishna saying in the 28th chapter. Vishwam ekatmakam pashyan. Vishwam is made of only one thing, Purusha. Only Purusha exists. From there Prakriti has come. And when Purusha-Prakriti separation is too strong in a person, then it will happen like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu knows only Prakriti. Doesn't know anything about Purusha. And Prahlada knows only Purusha. Nothing about the Prakriti. He knows about the Prakriti, but Prakriti does not disturb him. Prakriti cannot touch him. Because he is realized with the Purusha. So what happened? This conversation, you have to go back to the 7th canto. And when you read Bhagavatam, 7th canto, Prahlada's story, with the background of this understanding, then you will find it interesting. Otherwise, it is a story. You will read, people will tell you the story. They will always tell you the story. Prahlada was such a great devotee that he was kicked by the elephants and bitten by the snakes and thrown away from the cliffs. And you start wondering, oh, Prahlada's body must be amazing thing. Made of what? What is it made of? You'll be interested to know, isn't it? We don't know the inside of the story. What we seeing? Because we are used to seeing the body only, isn't it? Maybe Hiranyakashipu didn't know how to kill that body. Then everyone gets the doubt, isn't it? When you first time hear Prahlada's story, you find it a bit difficult to digest it. How does it work? What was Prahlada made of? Okay, we will say Krishna has protected him, Krishna has protected him and all that. But it is very difficult to understand that a 5-ton or 10-ton elephant has jumped over a 5-year-old boy and the boy was not killed and he came out without any damage in the body, isn't it? Initially it creates a little bit of difficulty because we don't have that sort of bhakti also and we don't have the knowledge either. So when these doubts will definitely come in anyone's mind. But from the bhakti point of view, you will say Krishna has protected him because he is so surrendered to Krishna. From Jnana Margam, this is the understanding that Prakriti Purusha Vivekam, that Prakriti Purusha Bhedam has gone for Prahlada. He sees only Purusha everywhere. And therefore what happened? When he looked inside, all he could see was that as far as he is concerned, there is only Chaitanyam. There is only living force. There is no such thing called Prakriti. To prove that incident of Hiranyakashipu pulling out the sword and questioning him that if you have so much faith in your Ishvara or Purusha or Krishna, is he there in this pillar? In order to ridicule him, he was asking that question to show that you are so stupid, like the stone, dull-headed, that is there Krishna present in the pillar? And when he looked, because he is only seeing the pillar, who? Hiranyakashipu. When Prahlada looked, he is only seeing Narasimha Murthy there, nothing else. Why? This realization has come to him. That is why to prove that Narasimha Murthy has to jump out from the pillar, to prove to Hiranyakashipu that it's only me who exists, Prakriti doesn't exist. Pillar is Prakriti, Narasimha Murthy is Purusha. Isn't it? So only Purusha exists, matter doesn't exist, pillar doesn't exist. Doesn't exist means it's dissolved in the Purusha. If Purusha is not there, Prakriti has no power. If Narasimha Murthy is not there, Hiranyakashipu has no power. Nobody has any power, isn't it? So therefore, that is why it was mentioned like that. That you have to understand in this way only because including a pillar can deliver Krishna. That's what it means, isn't it? Even a pillar can be Krishna's mother. Is it not? Narasimha's mother. Who is Narasimha Murthy's mother? Pillar. Narasimha Murthy's mother is a pillar, isn't it? So a pillar can also be Krishna's mother. Yashoda Devi also can be Krishna's mother. So that is Krishna. Krishna doesn't have any problem. Anybody can be Krishna's mother. Pillar can also be Krishna's mother. So he can manifest anywhere he wants. Because except Krishna, nothing else exists in the creation. When we say Krishna means Chaitanyam, the living force. Because everything is that, everything is Krishna only. And finally, one who has realized Krishna, for him, Prakriti and Purusha is not separate. Krishna is going to say that finally. He is going to say that. So, but when he goes through this chapter, you will see. Eventually, Krishna will say that. That's all what exists. Only me. Nothing else. Only Krishna exists at the end. But prior to that, Krishna keeps on rejecting Prakriti. Saying, Prakriti doesn't exist. Prakriti doesn't exist. And because Purusha himself has come as Prakriti. Purusha himself has come as Prakriti. And Prakriti is Purusha. But initially, you have to reject Prakriti and then you have to know Krishna as Chit Shakti. Krishna is known as the Chit Shakti. And only then you can say this. Only then you can say this. Otherwise, if you just say, oh, everything is Purusha, everything is Purusha, without realizing that, that is no meaning. That's the problem. Suppose initially you have to know Prakriti. In order to, so Prakriti is Purusha. But First, you have to know Krishna by rejecting Prakriti separately as Purusha. After knowing Purusha, then, only then you can say this. That means, once you are known Purusha, you will see that Purusha is not different from Prakriti. And Krishna is going to say that. Always, Krishna is advised to Uddhava, don't see two. Don't see the duality, see the oneness. See the oneness. Because Purusha is Prakriti. Purusha is Prakriti. Prakriti is Purusha. But first you have to reject Prakriti and then know Purusha as the Chit Shakti. After realizing Purusha, then you can say this. Then you can say this. Otherwise, if you just make a statement, oh, Purusha and Prakriti, they are all same, then in experience, it won't happen. In experience, it won't happen. So, in order that to come in experience, you have to remove the drishyam and see the drik first. Remove the object what you are seeing and see the person who is seeing. It's the same thing what we are talking. Drikka drishyam is based on the same understanding. Drishyam has to go, you have to see the drik. That is why Vedam is always saying, take your attention from the drishyam and come to drik. And when you start seeing drik and realize who the drik is, then if you look at drishyam, you will see there that drishyam has no existence, only drik exists. Only drik exists. Drishyam has come because of the presence of the drik. Presence of the drik. Drikka means, you know what it means. Drikka means the seer. Drishyam means the seen. What you have seen is drishyam. The person who is seeing is drikka, seer. So, when it removes, finally you remove this drishyam, or what you see, and you see your drikka, drik form, and then that means you started knowing yourself, surubam, your own identity, and that has to be experienced in samadhi state, what is known as aparoksha anubhuti. Aparoksham it is at that time. Aparoksha anubhuti means in samadhi states, experiencing that. Samadhi avastha. In other words, you have to go beyond the three states of existence, waking state, dream state, deep sleep. You have to transcend that, come to aparoksha anubhuti, it is called. And then aparoksha anubhuti is samadhi sthiti. And only in samadhi sthiti, this clarity will come. This clarity will come only in the samadhi sthiti. Which clarity? This clarity of Purusha and Prakriti. It will only happen in the samadhi sthiti. Through logic and through knowledge and mind and intelligence, you won't get it. You won't get it. Not even by vijaram. Shastra vijaram also, you won't get it. Shastra vijaram, for example, why do we study shastram and we perform mananam and all other things only for one purpose? That to get some intelligence, clarity in the intelligence. On an intellectual level, you get a clarity. That's all it helps. You have to understand this difference. That when we go back, say for example, you go home and you take Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, everything, and whatever you have read or heard, you have gone through, scrutinized it again and again. What purpose? To get the clarity in intellectual level. So intellectually you are not confused. Intellectually you are able to, that is necessary, because otherwise intelligence will throw away doubts in front of us. So to get that doubts cleared up, that intellectual clarity is necessary. And all this Shastra Vijaram, or reflection of the knowledge of the Bhagavadam, and everything is for that purpose. After that, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all what you have, Nididhyasanam is necessary. Mananam does that. Nididhyasanam does the next step. What does this? So, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all these three things will only work if you do these things. Which one? Mananam, Shravanam and Mananam. Shravanam and Mananam. And you have to, through that, you have to, through Nididhyasanam, you have to move on to Nirvikalpam state. Remember, we talked about this before also, that our main problem is not accepting this knowledge. Only thing is, this knowledge is not manifesting in us. What is the reason for that? Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi. Because there is no purification inside, it's full of vasanas, ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, and all our politics and the diplomacy, cheating nature. Everything inside, it is completely polluted. We will say, oh, we are all gentlemen. That's what we think about ourselves, isn't it? But if we were all gentlemen, as we claim, Krishna would be manifesting in us. But because we are not gentlemen, Krishna is not so easily coming. So the point what Krishna is making here is that this Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam has to go on. Intellectually it has to work, and you have to go, move on to the next stage of the Nirvikalpa Nishta, it is called. Nirvikalpam, that means no vikalpam coming inside. That state has to happen. And simultaneously, Chitta Shuddhi has to develop inside. Sattugunam has to build up. Chitta Shuddhi has to build up. Karma Shuddhi has to happen. All other things also has to happen. So otherwise, what will happen is that fulfillment, perfection, Shanti will not be there. Shanti will not be there. No matter, because if you have to go through both. One side, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam has to go on. Other side, Chitta Shuddhi, Karma Shuddhi, and all other Anushtanam, Nishta, Sadhana, everything has to go on. This is why if you look at all the great personalities in spiritual life, on one side, full of knowledge, and they go through this process of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, everything goes on one side. On the other side, first class sadhana, nishta, ajaram, anushtanam, and all other things also along with that. Why? Because they know very well that that's the way it is. All the great personalities, if you look, you will see this. It's not only one side they'll follow. Oh, now I started here in the greatest Vedantam. I don't need to do any more sadhana anymore. I don't need to do any deity worship. I don't have to go to temple. That is crazy, madness. That is not spiritual life. This is, if you observe carefully, great personalities like Kanchi Kamakoti Peedam, Chandrasekhar Bharati and all that, as far as sadhana, anushtanam, and as far as their acharam and all concerned, perfect all the time. No compromise at all. On the other hand, this Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, that means intellectual clarity inside, also has to develop simultaneously so that doubts go away from inside. Spiritual life demands a lot. It's not simply because what happens in the modern world, what we see now is one group of people, they have gone in one direction saying that we don't need any knowledge. Oh, knowledge is all useless. We have got bhakti. They keep jumping with that bhakti. On the other side, these Vedantis who is saying, oh, we don't need bhakti, we have got so much knowledge now. This other extreme. These two thinking are both wrong. With one it won't work. That is what you find in the realized personalities. In them, you will always see this. That Paramacharya and all that, they lived a life, lot of austerities and penances, full of sadhana and anushtanam and karma shuddhi, everything they, to the very highest extent, they rigidly they followed their Kamanushtanam. Whatever they have to do every day, waking up in the morning, waiting in the morning, chanting the holy name, chanting the Gayatri, all the things what's necessary, they did that very rigidly throughout life. They followed that. Because that is necessary for Chitta Shuddhi, for purification. On the other side, during the remaining time, they were absorbed in the Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. It's this combination, both has to happen. If you leave one out of the two, you are in trouble. You won't get there. One will go one way, the other one will other way. If you keep on saying, bhakti, 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 I don't want any knowledge, or this is all not important, it has nothing to do with me. If you reject all that, then what will happen? Your bhakti will simply become a sentimental thing. You will have so many doubts inside about everything. And finally, one day your sadhana will also collapse. That's what will happen. On the other hand, if you simply don't do any of the sadhana or any of the anushtanam or any of the deity worship or the bhakti side of it, and if you don't take care of that side, and simply think, oh, I'm reading now Vedantam, all the Vedantic texts only I read, and I've understood everything, I don't need any sadhana, you're also doomed. Both sides are doomed. These two things work together. Jnanam and bhakti, they work together. And finally what happens? In realization, there is no such thing called jnanam, there is nothing but bhakti. It's all Krishna, and the devotee realizes the truth. This Siddhantam and all, these are different processes, what is practiced and found by the rishis to follow. You can't go out of that. You have to remain within that framework. That's the most important point here Krishna is making here. And in the that means this knowledge is necessary. Knowledge you can't ignore, because otherwise why Ekadasha Skanda? Why this Canto 11 was spoken to Uddhava? It's necessary. Uddhava was a great devotee, wasn't he? He was such a great devotee. If you look into Uddhava's relationship with Krishna, Uddhava's clothes were all which worn by Krishna. Uddhava always wore Krishna's clothes. Whenever Krishna used any dhoti or pidambaram, whatever he has thrown away, Uddhava wore that. Rukmini Devi used to give it to Uddhava. Uddhava used to wear that. And any time when Krishna has taken prasadam, and whatever that Krishna has left in the plate, Uddhava used to have it. Toyoba bukta sraghanda vasa alangara charchidaha uchishta bhojinodasa tavamaya jayemahi. So much chitta shuddhi has happened to Uddhava. He is saying like this. Toyoba bukta sraghanda vasa alangara charchida. Whenever Krishna has worn a garland and taken out, Uddhava will wear it. So everything what Krishna has discarded, Uddhava was the next person who had it. This was Uddhava's connection with Krishna. Right from the childhood, Uddhava played with Krishna's childhood pastimes. Isn't it? You'll see in the Bhagavad. Vasa alangara uchishta bhojino dasa tavamaya jayemahi. Me who have eaten your prasadam like this. Uddhava says to Krishna, I am not fearful about maya, says Uddhava. That is Uddhava's way, bhakti inside. He is saying like this to Krishna. And in spite of that, Krishna is talking this knowledge to Uddhava. In spite of that. What does that mean? That means you require both. You require the knowledge, you require the bhakti. Both are necessary. Gopis also. Gopis had a lot of bhakti for Krishna, totally surrendered. Finally, Krishna calls all the gopis to Samanda Panchakam. And there instructs the knowledge. And sends Uddhava to gopis also. And instructs them the knowledge. Isn't it? So, you can remember in the 47th chapter, in the 10th canto, what happened? Uddhava was sent specifically by Krishna. And Krishna sent Uddhava. Uddhava instructs the gopis. What was the instruction? All about what Krishna is saying here. Same thing. In a very nutshell, it was given to the gopis. And saying to the gopis, this is also necessary to know. You should know these things. And that's how Uddhava was sent to gopis. So the thing is that, so shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, the three things, that's necessary. And after both happens for a long period of time, Shruti says, maunam gachet, because if you, through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, through that, if you have realized the truth, then that chittam of that person in the samadhi state. And in the samadhi state, you have to know that, because when after through continuous nididhyasanam is what it does, that when you wake up from that samadhi state, you will wake up with this pratyabhijna. When you wake up from the samadhi, you have gone into samadhi state, and from the samadhi state, when you wake up with this pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means what? Of the knowledge of the self. With the knowledge of the self. And it is that pratyabhijna, what you have at that time, that is the one which makes you to realize the truth in the aparoksham way. Remember this, paroksha, aparoksham? Paroksham means everything spoken indirectly. Everything is paroksham up to this point. When up to you are woken up in the abharoksham way. And that abharoksha anubhuti, it is called, that happens in that samadhi state when when you wake up from samadhi. These are all things what happens at different stages in the self-realization. When you wake up, for example, a person who has followed karma yogam well, karma shuddhi has happened to him. First of all, as I mentioned before, Bhagavatam says, nishiddha karma has to go from a person. Then he has to come to kamya karma, fruitive activity. From kamya karma, he has to come out of it and then come to vihita karma. When it comes to vihita karma, again he has to come out through karma yoga. Through karma yoga. Nishiddha karma, kamya karma, vihita karma. Vihita karma, you have to execute karma yoga. Karma yoga, you have to execute there. And through karma yoga, karma shuddhi. Karma shuddhi happens, manashuddhi comes little by little. Through karma shuddhi, manashuddhi comes. How does manashuddhi comes? Manashuddhi comes when karma shuddhi happens. The symptom of that is interest in the satsangam, interest in the Bhagavatam, interest in the Bhagavad Gita, interest in the understanding Krishna little bit more. So that is manashuddhi. Manashuddhi is a symptom of that. And when manashuddhi comes, then through satsangam and other things, inquiry begins. Inquiry begins. And same time, sadhana is going on and shravanam is going on. Shravanam is going on, sadhana is going on. When sadhana, that means you have become serious. You are not, that means you have come into one of these things. Jnana yogam, bhakti yogam, karma yogam. One of the three states you have come to. And through that, manashuddhi is happening. That means you have come to really to spiritual life. You know, genuinely you have come to spiritual life. Otherwise not. Only at that stage you can say you are serious. And it is for them this Ekadasi Skandham was spoken. Was come to that. In that state, what will happen? That your life is spiritual then. You are not a materialist anymore. Your goal is not anymore materialistic goal. If there is still materialistic goal, that means you have not come to that point. So at that stage, what will happen is that due to manashuddhi has come, karma shuddhi has come, chitta shuddhi has happened, all your time is absorbed in spiritual life. Absorbed in spiritual life. That means that whatever time you have, your goal is always self-realization. Realizing the self. Because you have started touching the truth from the surface. From the surface. And then side by side, one side bhakti, chitta shuddhi, everything is going on. Other side shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is going on. And eventually both things happen so well that you come to the samahita state, which is known as samadhi. Samahita state is called samadhi. And that samadhi state, that chittam is pure, and you will get to know yourself who you are in that state. And samadhi siddhi, from that samadhi siddhi when you wake up, when I say wake up, don't mean the way we wake up from the sleep to awakened state. That is not waking up. Waking up means from that ignorance you are coming out. That's waking up. From the waking ignorant state you are coming out. That is what is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is, these words are necessary in Shastram because otherwise you can't explain the process clearly to others. Although there is very little difference between samadhi sthiti and the pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is that state when you wake up from that ignorant state, you will wake up with pratyabhijna, full knowledge of the self. That is what is called pratyabhijna. And when you wake up that pratyabhijna, at that time what does it do? Pratyabhijna gives you abharoksha anubhuti, direct experience. At that time it's not theoretical anymore. Up to now, it's all theoretical, isn't it? You are studying, reading, understanding with the mind, brain and all that, but nothing in your direct experience. But when pratyabhijna does that, when you wake up with pratyabhijna means that waking up inside, when that happens, it hands over to you the truth in the aparoksha bodhi, aparokshani bodhi, in direct experience. There is no talking, only experience exists. You are experiencing something and there is nothing need to talk anymore about it, isn't it? Talking all is when you don't have the experience, isn't it? When you are experiencing something, then there is no more talking about it. So, Krishna says here that when you come to that state, aparoksha anubhuti, only then the truth will be properly clear. Clarity will be there. What is what he is talking about here? He's saying only when that aparoksha anubhuti happens, the experience will give you the clarity inside. Up to that, it is all remains as a unclear thing. And that state is, Krishna says, you have transcended prakriti. That means you have gone beyond the prakriti. You have gone beyond the prakriti and the state of Purusha at that time. Purusha state beyond prakriti. That's what that is. Beyond prakriti. And when you come to know Purusha in that way, when you have realized Purusha in that way, Vedam is saying here, what you see as prakriti is also Purusha. What you see as prakriti is also Purusha. This is a long way to go to get to this state. It's a very, very long way to go to get to this state. Evedam Vishwam Karma Tanu Brahma Paramritam Saumya. Upanishad says like this. In the prakriti, everything is Purusha. Purusha doesn't exist. So, that Krishna alone is prakriti also. And Krishna is seen Bhagavan, or if you look at that way, he is seen as Purusha and he is seen as prakriti. And when you get to know that, this difference of Purusha prakriti will go away from inside. It is for that purpose all this was spoken. All this was spoken. So that is what you find here in this 22nd chapter. Prakriti purushaschedi vikalpa purusharshabham esha vaigariga sargo gunam vidigaral magam mamangamayam maya gunamai anekadham vikalpa buddhischa gunair vidhate vaigarika trividhodatmamekam adhadi devam adhibhudam anyad. Verse 30. 22nd chapter, verse 30. 30. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. 29 or 30, whatever number in your chapter. Yeah. He said, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, that first, what Krishna is saying is, prakriti and purusha has a long connection between prakriti and purusha. Vigaram, avigaram, nanatvam, ekatvam, sabekshatvam, nirabekshatvam, suprakashatvam, jadatvam. These are all the qualities attributed to the prakriti and purusha. Purusha and prakriti. In the shastram, all these different words exist to make it lot more finer and finer and finer. That's the way. The whole language is spiritual. That is the difficulty. It's all spiritual words. Nothing in materialistic sense. So, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna is saying, prakriti purushaschedi vigalpa purusharshabha esha vaigariga sargo gunam vyadikaralmagam. He says, Arjuna, prakriti and purusha, that difference is there. All these things, you should take it that it's not the final answer. Final answer is only one, that realization of purusha. After that, you won't ask anymore any knowledge, nothing. But in different level, different things exist. Purusha and prakriti exist. In this level, purusha and prakriti exist, he says. Because guna vidigalpagam esha sargaha vaigarigaha. Due to the modes of nature's agitation, this body has come, which is a package of mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, and these changes in the bodies of different people, all due to three modes of material nature. Krishna is saying that. Then, mamanga maya gunamaya nekada vikalpa buddhischa gunair vidatte vaigariga trivito adhatma megam adhadi devam adhibhudam anyan. So, in order to explain that, Krishna spoke about this adhyalpam, adhibhudam, adhidevam. Once again we talked that yesterday in different ways, how everything is manifest in three forms, isn't it? All the senses, mind, intelligence, ego, everything has got three separate components in there. Predominating deity, the senses and the sense object. So then he's saying how to come out of it. And mainly he says the reason because of the false ego that he explained yesterday. We talked about that. Yosau gunachobagdo vigaraha pradhana moolan mahata prasudaha aham tribrunmoham vigalpahedu vaigarigam tamasam aindriyascha. That he mentions there, satika rajasa tamasam, the three modes of material nature, he created three types of false ego, ahankaram also. And it when it gets mixed up with the modes of nature, that ahankaram which has come from that, that is the cause of all this ignorance. Krishna is saying like that. How you will come out of that? And that will only come out through knowledge. Krishna is saying, Alma parijnana mayo vivadum astiti nastiti vidartha nishta vyarthobi naivo parameda pumsam matta paravarta dhyam sulogar. Krishna is saying that this arguing about all these things is a waste of time. Krishna is saying it's all a waste of time. Vyarthobi naivam uparameda pumsam matta paravarta dhyam sulogar. So there he mentioned that Atma on its own is full of knowledge and illumination. It doesn't, and it is full of knowledge and it is always in him, the knowledge. Therefore, Atma doesn't require any education. Atma is full of knowledge, full of bliss and eternal. We discussed all that yesterday, you remember? So, but these things, Prakriti and its variations, Krishna says here, that will exist till you wake up from this big waking up. Krishna calls it as waking up. Not waking up from the sleep to waking state. Not that waking up. From ignorance to knowledge. That is in Shastram calls us waking up. When a waking up happens, then Krishna says that this will go. Uddhava asked the question, Tata paravarta diyas. That is when Uddhava asked this question. Sukhrade karma bhi prabha uccha vachan yata dehan grihnandi visvijanti cha. That those who have turned their attention away from you, that means those who are not in the spiritual life, what will happen to them? Because they'll get recycled through their karma in the various kinds of bodies. And they get cheated in that way because hardly anyone, Uddhava says, who understands this principle of Maya, how Maya operates within Prakriti, operates within this world. Purusha is operating in the Prakriti. And then Krishna started explaining that, and that is what we were discussing till now. Till now. So he says here, so we've seen at what stage this Prakriti Purusha difference goes away. That's what we talked about it so far. At what stage Prakriti and Purusha difference goes away? Difference goes away from inside. So, so that is why that is Uddhava's question was, if you look there in the 26th verse, Uddhava said, used a word there. Prakriti purushaschevo yadyap alma vilakshano anyonyam apashrayat. Anyonya apashrayat, he says. Prakriti purusha anyonya apashrayam. Uddhava is saying here, this anyonya apashrayam, that is the word they are using. What is anyonya apashrayam means? Anyonya apashrayam means that mutually interdependence between Prakriti and Purusha. Interdependence between Prakriti. Uddhava has been thinking about Prakriti like that. Interdependence between Prakriti and Purusha. So, so that is why Krishna had to explain all these things. That eventually only Purusha exists. All this will disappear when you have realized Prakriti will go, Prakriti will dissolve in the Purusha. So you will see in the 33rd verse, he says, that is that dissolution of the Prakriti in the Purusha, and only Purusha, who is Krishna, Ishvara, Atma, exists. That is that verse saying, Atma. Parijnana, which is number 33, is it? Or 34?
34. ఆత్మా పరిజ్ఞానమయ వివాదో ఆస్తీది నాస్తీది నిధార్థ నిష్ట వ్యర్థోపి నైవో పరమేద పుంసాం మత్త పరావృతధియాం స్వలోకాత్. That is the answer from Krishna for that. What he is saying here is that without realization, simply remaining on the intelligence and mind, and if that intelligence is so external, going out all the time in the world, that is bahirmukhatvam. Bahirmukhatvam means that. That means it hasn't turned inward looking. It is still outward looking. Your mind and intelligence is operating. And naiva uparameda pumsa. Krishna says there, naiva uparameda pumsa means that. When it is like that, these arguments will not come to any conclusions, he says. When your attention is all in the world, when your mind and intelligence is all in the world, and this anyonya vashrayam, purusha and prakriti, that knowledge of the purusha and prakriti, will not come into direct experience inside, and without direct experience, when this intelligence is outward looking, this vadam, this argument will not come to an end. That's how Krishna says. Which vadam? World is real or world is not real? Body is real or body is not real? It will keep coming and going. He says here, as long as you have this false ego, that is false ego. Which one? That this argument is all coming from false ego. And it will be there. He says, and that he says here, in the earlier, next verse before he says, Aham Trivrunmoham Vikalpa Hedu Vaigarigam Tamasam Aindriyascha. That is what that is. That means, Vaigarigam Tamasam Ahangaram. Vaigariga Tamasa Aindriyascha. Vaigariga Tamasa Aindriyascha. That Ahangaram inside of that person, the ego inside is, it is Vaigarigam, based on Vigaram. And it is Tamasam, based on mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance. Because once Ahangaram has taken birth, once Ahangaram or false ego has taken birth, it has got these three modes in it. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, goodness, passion and ignorance. And if it has woken up, Ahangaram has woken up, this argument, Krishna is saying, Naiva Uparamed, Naiva Uparamed. Naiva uparamed. It means what? It will not stop. It cannot stop because Ahangaram has woken up inside. Once we have false ego gone up inside, woken up inside, Ahangaram uparam, naiva Ahangaram uparamed, he says. Once the Ahangaram has woken up inside, naturally there is at that time these three modes. You see how subtle that is? That if you ask the question, when did this three modes of nature get into us? The answer to that is, as soon as the ego woke up. Ego means with that there is these three modes with that. Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. Krishna is saying here, once that Ahangaram has woken up inside and these three modes are there, this vadam, argument, asti idi nasti idi means artha nishta, that argument, naiva uparamed, it will not stop. It will not stop. The moment, the Ahangaram goes back, Ahangaram disappears, dissolves itself, where, goes back and dissolves from where it came from. It came from the Chit Shakti, isn't it? The origin of everything is Chit Shakti. When it goes back, at that time, it will stop all kinds of arguments, and it will go beyond all these things, and it will go and touch the truth, satyam. And it will happen to him at that time. It is at that time, Krishna, Uddhava asked these two questions. Which one? which you see in the next two verses, Uddhava Vacha. I think it is 35 and 36, isn't it? ോവിന്ദുർവിഭാവ്യമനാത്മവിഹ്യേതായോ ലോകേ വിദ്വാംസന്തി വഞ്ചിതാ യു ഹാവ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് ഡീപ്ലി അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ അതർവൈസ് യു വോണ്ട് ഗെറ്റ് ടു നോ വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് വൈ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് Why Uddhava is asking, why Krishna is answering like this, all these things to understand, you have to go through this chapter a few times. Otherwise you won't get that clearness, insight. Because you have to remember, 19th chapter, Krishna began talking purely about self-realization. 19th chapter, 5, 7 or 8 verses. And that we have seen in detail before. First 7, 8 verses in the 19th chapter. Now we are looking at these chapters, isn't it? 19, 20, 21, 22. This is our scope for these 2 weeks. So, 19th chapter, Krishna started like that, with this idea, like he did the Bhagavad Gita, same thing. What did Krishna do in the Bhagavad Gita? As soon as Krishna started talking, first thing, what did he say? He told Arjuna about the truth. Isn't it? Nasade vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Bhayorave drishtandam stanayor tatudarshivi. From the highest level, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. As soon as first Krishna spoke that to Arjuna. Is it not? After that, after talking about that, then the questions came up from Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to know of a nature of a person who is in that state, and then sthita prajnatvam, all other things Krishna explained. But in the middle of that, what did Krishna do? Krishna understood that Arjuna hasn't understood the point. Arjuna's situation was that he is identifying with the body, relations, friends, family and all that. And when Krishna spoke from the highest level the truth, it didn't have its impact on him. Krishna had to come down to Arjuna's level then, and then start speaking. And that is when Krishna said, when one is born, he has to die, and jadasya hidruvo mrtyurdruvam janma mradasya ja tasma, you can't do anything about it. All this is in relating with Arjuna. Krishna is talking all these things. And slowly, Krishna made Arjuna very clear to him, that Arjuna, you think you are in control, but actually you are not in control. Prakriti is in control. So introduces Prakriti to Arjuna and says to him, you have got vasanas inside, and vasanas are all controlled by the Prakriti, and therefore you won't be able to simply do what you like. You want to become a sannyasi, you can't be a sannyasi. You are a householder and you are a kshatriya, and that vasana is inside you and you are not out of it. Even if you want to come out, you can't come out so easily. That is how Krishna puts it to him, to Arjuna. Only then Arjuna started thinking, well, it makes sense to me, because he knows himself well. Arjuna is very good that way. He knows that I can't fight, I can't run away from this battlefield. Because Krishna very bluntly told him that even if you run away from here, you will come back and you will start fighting. That's in you, you can't take it out from there. That's your vasana there, kshatriya you are. So after hearing all that, in that second chapter you can see how Arjuna gets confused about it. Confused means that knowledge is there, whatever Krishna has spoken is absolute, the pure knowledge of the self, that remains. But Arjuna is not quite there yet. He is still very much in the body and in the rules of this world, society, morals of this world, things like that. Arjuna is carried away by all that. So Krishna came down to that level and told him, even in this level, you are not independent. That's what he's saying to Arjuna. Even if you accept all your logic and argument, still you are not independent, because inside you, there is a thing called vasana working there, which is controlled by the prakriti outside, the modes of nature, everything. So only then it made some sense to Arjuna. Arjuna started asking questions. And then sthita prajnatvam was spoken, because Arjuna wanted to know, when he heard all these things, what will be that person doing? How will he be in this world? then that verses, Stita Prajna Sega Vasha, Samadhista Segeshava, all that question came from Arjuna, and then again Krishna brings spiritually realized soul how he will be. That is when he said all those things, which one he mentions there, that that he has no desires inside, isn't it? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmanyev atmanastushta sashanti madhigachadi or sthitasya adhidhishtadi. That state, what Krishna has spoken to him. So again Krishna had to say to him, this will be that state. Like that he says to him. So then doubt started coming to Arjuna. Therefore third chapter Karma Yogam, Krishna is slowly taking Arjuna through the process. Karma Yogam, Karma Sanyasam, Jnana Karma Sanyasam, Jnanam, like this it goes on, Dhyanam, all of that one after the other. It's a progress for Arjuna. And finally, Krishna, after saying all things, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says to him, if you have passed through all these things, then you don't have to look for dharmam, adharmam. That is when sarvadharmam parityajya comes. Not day one. Day one it won't work. It didn't work for Arjuna. So how is it going to work for us? You have to ask that question. It didn't work for Arjuna. Arjuna, if it was day one, Arjuna and Krishna would have said that in the day one itself, isn't it? It's in the last he's saying, after saying all these things, he's saying, you have to go through all these things. And when sarvadharma and parityajya, when you say, that means you have to first give up all adharmam before talking about dharmam. Life is full of adharmam. And then where is the question of parityajya dharmam? This is an excuse many devotees use. I have heard them saying repeatedly, oh, there is nothing much to know in Bhagavad Gita, they are saying. They are saying, sarvadharman parityajya, very simple. Don't bother anything. You give up everything, surrender to Krishna. No, it's not. It's not so simple. Before you give up dharmam, you have to give up adharmam first. That is why that verse is like that. Sarva adharmam parityajya, sarva dharman parityajya, both. First of all, adharmam has to go, then you have to go through all this process what Krishna has spoken, and that state, even if you give up dharmam, you are not responsible for anything. And then you can surrender freely, and Krishna is saying there, in that situation, I take the responsibility. Not the one, you have thrown away everything, oh, I have no dharmam anymore, because I studied Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, just quoting one verse, picking up at the end and saying that this is Bhagavad Gita. That is the ignorance that is. That's not proper studying Bhagavad Gita. Studying Bhagavad Gita, everything, every verse you have to accept in the Bhagavad Gita. Not one verse, pick and choose here and there. That's not acceptable. Because there is a whole science behind it. Krishna is giving it to us. And that same process, Krishna is following here also in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam also, Krishna is following the same process. He said those things in the 19th chapter about the knowledge to Uddhava. And Uddhava had questions, Krishna was started answering. And in that process, he says here, Uddhava asked this question, said, when Krishna said, Matta Paravrta Dhiya, Uddhava is saying, Tvatta Paravrta Dhiya. You see that verses, you will notice these things in the Bhagavatam verses. In the, when Krishna said in that verse, finally as a conclusion, he says there, Alma Parijnana Mayo Vivado Astidi Nastidi Vidartha Nishtaham Vyartho Vinayo Brameda Pumsam Matta Paravrta Dhyam Sologat Matta Paravrta Dhyam Sologat. He says, who says? Krishna is saying. What does Uddhava say? Tvatta paravrta dhiya sukhrudai karma bhi prabho. Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying, Tvatta paravrta dhiya. Tvatta paravrta dhiya, he says. That means, what is Tvatta paravrta dhiya means? Tvatta paravrta dhiya means, whose shraddha has gone away from Krishna. Who has gone away from Krishna. Or whose attention is in the world. In other words. And their karmam, they, because of that tvatta paravrta dhiya, they are they keep taking birth again and again and dying again and again. That's what he says here. Tanmama kya hi govinda druvibhavimanaatmabhi nasyedat prayesho loke vidvamsam sandhivanchidaha. They get cheated by the material nature and they keep on changing their body. They keep on changing their body. And therefore, they don't never get to know about Krishna. And talk to, please tell me about them, Uddhava is asking. And vivanchidaha, he says, sandhi, vidvamsa sandhi vanchidaha. Some of them are learned, but still they feel, they look, appears as though they are cheated. And Uddhava says here, people who know about these things are very, very few in this world. And if you let your mind go into that, what Bhagavatam says is that, muhyandiyat surayaha. Remember? That's the same word used in the first verse. Janmadhyasya yadonyoyadidharadas chartesh abhijnaswarat tene brahmahadaya adigave muhyandiyat suraya. Muhyandiyat suraya means this. Muhyandiyat suraya means, even those who know this secret of the transmigration of the soul, and how going through the cycle of karma, birth and death and all that, this whole science, people who know about it, is very, even highly learned people, they have difficulty in completely understanding it, how it works. That is what it says here. Muhyandiyat surayaha. And they get completely baffled by that. Therefore, please explain to me with clarity, so that I can understand. Like yesterday, Uddhava said to Krishna, isn't it? Maya naipunehi, he says. That you are capable of explaining things in a way that I can understand, he says. And it is that reply, Krishna is going to talk about it from now on. And the answer to that question is, what is staying now? And which you will have a look at it after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam ananda ambudivardhanam pradipada purna pradaswadanam sarvabhna subanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna amakari bahuda nija sarva shakti prarpidane midasmaranena kala edadrisham dava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdaiva me darshamiha janitnanuragaham trinara vishunijena taroravi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari najanam janam nasundhaim kavidam vajagadishakamaye bhava janmani janmani shwari bhavadat bhaktirai dugitvai inandadanu jakingaram Padidamamushame bhavambudo kribaya tava pada pangajastita duli sadrisham vijindaya yuga ayanam kalada shudaraya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulager nijidam kadavabhuta varnama grahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshava padaradam vinashtuma adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yadha tadhava vidadha dulambado matpranatha asuna evana para. Uddhava says to Krishna that when Uddhava asked this question, tatta paravrta dhiya. See there. Krishna says, matta paravrta dhiya. Uddhava says, tvatta paravrta dhiya. That means that, he says to him, that those who have not taken your words seriously, those who have not taken your words seriously, and those who are thinking that their world is, their mind is busy with all other things in this world, and we know that the destiny is that they'll keep on changing the body. That's what will happen. And they will die, they'll take birth, they'll die, they'll take birth. This will continue with them. And those who have learned also, they also are not fully conversant, fully understand how that thing works. How does it work? Because on the one side you have got Atma. They also got Atma, isn't it? And on the other hand, they have got their karma and they have no interest in the Atma. Those who have come to spiritual life and they have started following one of these processes, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, they have some hope because they are on the right path. They come to and they are following Krishna, isn't it? In other words. But one who does not follow any of the yoga system, jnanam, karmam or bhakti, who doesn't have any interest in spiritual life, simply mind absorbed in the world and the life and enjoyment in the world outside. For them, matta paravartadiya, Krishna says, Uddhava says, totta paravartadiya, they are called totta paravartadiya. That means their intelligence is in the world, not in the self, in the Atma. So, and what will happen to them and how does it all happen? How does this, they leave the body, they get another body, and how does the cell body operates? All these kind of things Uddhava is asking here. And that's what Krishna is going to answer from now on. And that answer is beginning from this verse 37 onwards, is that answer. So earlier I mentioned before that in 19th chapter, Krishna spoke pure knowledge again, like in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. And after that, Krishna said that there is gunam dosham, isn't it? Gunam dosham. And do not allow your intelligence to get absorbed in that, in the good and bad, isn't it? What did Krishna say to Uddhava? Uddhava, to think that there is good and bad itself is bad, and to think that there is no good and bad is good. That's how he put it at the end of the 19th chapter, if you remember. That then he mentions that go beyond these do's and don'ts. He said there, isn't it? Don't worry too much about this, what you do, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Vidhi Nishedam. It's called Vidhi Nishedam. So go beyond these do's and don'ts, he said. And then after that, Krishna spoke about the self again. Atma. Atmobadesham, he said. And he mentions there, realized souls have gone beyond good and bad, gone beyond the do's and don'ts, he said. And only those who have gone beyond the do's and don'ts, gone beyond the good and bad, only they can remain situated in the platform of the soul. They alone can be in the state of realization, he says there. And if you look into Kathopanishad, you will see this. The same thing spoken by Yama also. So Nachiketas goes to Yama and asks him, and if you look into this answer from Nachiketas, you will see there that the question from Nachiketas to Yama Dharmaraja, and his answer from there. What he said to him at that time was, he says that the in the beginning of the Kathopanishad, which is the verse, mantram which is 14, he says, Nachiketas is asking this question, because what happened was, Nachiketas went to see Yama. And Yama told him, don't ask me this question about the Atma. Everything else you can ask. Nachiketa says, that's the only thing I want to know. I don't want to know anything else. So between Yama and Nachiketa, there is this problem. Nachiketa wants to know only about the soul. And Yama Dharmaraja doesn't want to talk about the soul. He wants to talk about everything else. So he tries to persuade him not to ask that question, and he told him, you can ask for anything else, I'll give it to you. Chariots, big kingdom, horses, this, that, gold, wealth, wives, and all sorts of things he's promising there to him, to Nachiketas. Nachiketas says no. Then Nachiketas says to him, and Yama Dharmaraja says to, glorifies the Nachiketas and says to him, that if you can avoid this question, so Nachiketas says to him, Anyatra dharmar, anyatra adharman, anyatra tasmat krida krida, anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha, yat pashyasi tadvada, he says to him. He says, anyatra dharmal, anyatra dharmal. And it is different from dharmam, it is different from adharmam. Tasmat, asmat krida krida, krida krida, anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha, yat pashyasi tadvada. Yeah, so he says here, that truth what you see, yeah, because Yamadharmaraja is one of the Mahajans. So he says to him that one who is transcended this dharmam and adharmam. You see how Najigetas is very intelligent. He says to Yamadharmaraja, Yamadharmaraja told him that this is dharmam, this is adharmam and all. Najigetas says, I'm not interested in dharmam, adharmam. Someone who has gone beyond dharmam and adharmam. And tell me about that. Tell me about that, that is beyond karmam and akarmam. Beyond the karmam and akarmam. I want to hear about that. That means this state, what Krishna is talking about. He says, anyatra dharmal, anyatra adharmal, anyatra dasmat krita kritat, anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha, yat pashyasi tadvada. Yat pashyasi tadvada. That means, Brahma tattvam is beyond dharmam and adharmam. Beyond dharmam and adharmam. If you follow dharmam, you go to the higher planets. Higher planets, you go there. Pious worlds, the heavenly planets. If you follow adharmam, impious way, if we live in this world, then the destination is hellish planets. Hellish planets. So based on your activities, karmam, pious or impious activity, dharmam and adharmam is decided. Based on that, your destination is decided, whether higher planets or lower planets. But brahmam is beyond higher planet and lower planets, or beyond dharmam and adharmam, beyond karmam and akarmam. So, and it is beyond this creation itself. Bhudacha anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha yatyat pashyasi tadvada. He says, brahmam is not bound by time. Past, present and future doesn't exist in the brahmam, isn't it? Past, present and future, where does it exist? In the mind. Because we have a mind, you say past time, present time, future time. And mind is busy with past and future. Mind cannot touch the present, isn't it? So that's what he's saying here. All these past, present and future, time, space, all dharmam, adharmam, karmam, akarmam, those things are in the vyavaharam stage. It is brahmam is beyond all that. Anyatra bhudacha bhavyacha. And that brahmam, yad pashyasi tadvada. Please explain to me about that brahmam, says Najigetas, a little child, to Yama, he says to him. And then Brahma starts discussing that, about the nature of the Brahman in the verses next one onwards. So, this is the same thing here Krishna is saying also, that realized soul, they have gone beyond those and do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts means vidhi and nishedham. You're allowed to do these things, you should not do those things. And Uddhava says, then, so Krishna wants Uddhava also to go beyond these do's and don'ts, vidhi and nishedham. And that is how Krishna instructed the knowledge to Uddhava. And then he says to Uddhava, don't put your brain into all these kind of things. Which one? Gunam, dosham, right, wrong, and vidhi nishedam, do's and don'ts, and things like that. Don't put your mind into it. Don't get involved in all these things, he says. As soon as you are working in this world, you are engaged in vyavaharam, you need all those. But Uddhava has come to the final stage, isn't it? He's on his way, leaving this world. So you don't have to worry about all these things. It doesn't apply to you, he says to him. But as long as you are in this world, busy with vyavaharam, karmam, and dharmam, adharmam, all these things are necessary. But once you are pulled out of the world, on your own, you are living completely. You have given up the world, nothing to do, no responsibility here. Not involved in the society, not involved in anything. Completely freed yourself from this, in isolation, in seclusion, then you have to be only concerned about the soul, not about the vidhi nishedam, not about the guna dosham, right and wrong and things like that. You don't have to worry about it. And it is in that level that this instruction is given, that you have to remember. This do's and don'ts is only for that person who has gone out of this world. See, suppose you have left the world, that means you have no plans to do anything here, no plans to maintain a family, no plans to get involved in the society, no plans to make money or any other projects like that related to money and things like that. You completely realize the inside that you don't want to be anymore. That means you have gone higher in realization that karma is a entanglement. And karma, I want to free myself from the karma. If you have come to that understanding and you have given up all your plans in this world, that means you don't have anything to do here and you are not bound by these rules and regulations. Krishna is saying, practically talking about the state beyond sannyasam, after taking sannyasam. So, and Uddhava is in that state now, ready to leave, isn't it? Krishna is leaving. Krishna knows Uddhava also will be leaving very soon. So he says to Uddhava, you don't have to be concerned about it anymore. That stage is finished for you. And therefore, it is not applies to you. But those who require, they do need it. But those who have transcended all these things, they don't need it. Those who have transcended, that means you have transcended karma, you have transcended dharmam, adharmam, and you have transcended vidhinishedam, you have transcended gunadosham, all those things. And after saying that, Krishna started saying all these things, isn't it? So here, what you are seeing after that, Krishna started talking about pure purity and impurity. He spoke about it, isn't it? Something is pure and impure. Then he spoke about prakriti and purusha, how to separate them out. And then he comes and comes to this state now, what we have finished before. That time, Uddhava is asking Krishna that this purva janmam, that means previous life, or parajanmam, that means your life after death, life before this life, and life after death, and from moving from one life to another life, one body to another body, or from transmigration of the soul from one body to another body. How does that work actually? He says here. And then Uddhava asks, how does this birth and death happens? Birth and death happens. You have to remember, all these questions are in relationship with Maya, not in relationship with Ishvara or Purusha. It's all in relationship with Prakriti. So that changes the whole thing, isn't it? When you ask about Atma, Krishna has a very clear and steady and firm answer there. Have you noticed that? When it comes to soul, Krishna has a very clear-cut definition. Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayora vidrishtonam sanayor tatu darshir. Second chapter. And many other things, if you look at what Krishna has talked about the soul, is very categorical, very firm and very clear. No problems there. He says that is the soul. That is soul, he says. And soul by very nature is perfect. That is the beauty. Soul by very nature is perfect, isn't it? Perfect means eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. You can't get a higher perfection than that, than the soul. Whereas Prakriti, Maya, is full of changes happening all the time, confusions everywhere, and this birth, death and transmigration and all is happening in Prakriti, not to the soul, isn't it? So that is why, because the question is like that, because this is topics related to Maya, it is in the same way Krishna is replying Uddhava. That also you will see in these verses. You won't see that firmness with which Krishna spoke about the soul when Krishna talks about the Maya. You will observe that when you go through this. With soul, no confusion. Straightforward, everything. What soul is concerned. Whether it is in Bhagavad Gita or in the Ekadasha Skandam. Everything is very, very clear and straightforward. And that is why initially Krishna will always talk about the soul. That is Krishna's way. Always he will talk about the soul first, because for Krishna, soul is the only reality. This is another thing. Things what's happening in the Maya, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, don't worry about it too much. What's happening inside this Maya? That means this birth, death, and vidhi nishedam, gunam dosham, all these kind of things. And it is in that way Krishna is going to talk about it from now on. So, if you look at it this way, this knowledge of the self, what you have heard from the great acharyas, and then you have given enough time devoted to that through this process of shravanam, mananam, vididhyasanam. Through that way, you have started getting closer to the truth, and you started realizing soul is the only reality. You have come to that conclusion. Soul is the only reality. Everything outside the soul is simply an imagination. Simply an imagination. Like creation, for example, the mind, the thought waves, they're all coming and going, coming and going. Anything coming and going is not a real thing. That understanding has come. And in that way, you have thrown away everything that through chitavati. How do you throw them away? Through thought waves, isn't it? Through the thoughts you throw them away. Which one? The world, the mind, the intelligence, ego. And in that way you get closer to the truth, which is known as the Atma, the soul. And then you get closer, what Krishna says, Kevala Anubhavananda Sarupam. Kevala Anubhava Matra Bandhanam. Then that is how Krishna has started this chapter. In the beginning, I think he mentions that. You will see there. That means Kevala Anubhava Matra Sampannam. If you remember the 19th chapter, to go back to 19th chapter where Krishna started that. See, 19, 20, 21 is very closely connected. 19th chapter, if you look, you will see Yo Vidya Shruta Sampannam. Yo Vidya Shruta Sampannam Atmavanna Anumanikaha Maya Matramidam Yatva Jnanam Cha Maisanyase. Then these are all the verses of knowledge. Jnaninastuhamevestasvartho hedushcha sammadaha surgascheva abavargascha nanyartho midde priyaha jnana vijnana samsiddham padam shrestam vidurum mama jnani priyadamo mimi jnaninaso bhivartimam. And after saying that, he says there, Tasmat jnanena sahidam yatva svalpanam ubdhava jnana vijnana sambannam vajamam bhakti bhavadam. So there Krishna talked about many, many things, and finally Krishna is saying to Uddhava that jnanam, what maya matram idam yatva jnanam cha mai sanyase jnaninastuham evaishta swato hedushcha sammada. So you can see as that yo vidya shruta sambannaha. If you look at that verse, the first verse, he says yo vidya shruta sambannam. So in that chapter Krishna spoke about that. He mentioned in that ninth verse that you should always remain in the platform of self-realization. That is the first few verses saying to Uddhava. You should remain in the platform of the self. You should always remain in the platform of the self. And that is very strictly Krishna spoke. And especially when you look at that verse which we analyzed earlier, that is the seventh verse. So Yuddhava Shrayadi Yastrivitho Vikaro Mayandara Abadadinan Abhavargayor Yet Janmadayo Sayadami Tavadasya Kim Syu Adyandayor Yadasadosti Tadeva Madhyam. If you remember that verse, I don't know whether you remember. That verse is a very important verse there. And Krishna is saying there that that knowledge, how important that is. He mentioned, we discussed that verse later on. We can see that. So, we came to this chapter after discussing all that. And so many tattvams were spoken, isn't it? Number 7, 9, 11, 13, 24, 26, 18, all kinds of numbers were spoken. So, ultimately, Uddhava says to Krishna, Totta Paravarta Dhiya. That is those two verses. Totta Paravarta Dhiya, that is the, if you look into the 22nd chapter, 35 and 36, isn't it? Uddhava says, Totta Paravarta Dhiya. That means, one who does not have bhakti, no bhakti, and who doesn't involve in any kind of discussion about the soul, one who has not come to path of knowledge or to bhakti, in order that, in order to experience their results of their karma in this world, they have to take different bodies which are higher and lower. They have to enter into higher and lower bodies and they have to give up those bodies again. How does this work? That was Uddhava's question. And only realized souls can know about it. Can know about it. Therefore, please give us the, explain to us that satyam, that principle, how it works, and show mercy to us. Like this, Uddhava, when he asked this question, Krishna answered in that next verse, mana karmamayam, that is 37, mranam indriyai panjabir yudham, loka logam prayatanya alma tadanu vartade, he says. Then, the mind, what it does is, it takes the shelter of sound, touch, smell, taste and form. Mind takes the shelter of all these things and it travels from one world to another world. One world to another world. That is what Krishna is saying there. Mind takes the shelter of these tanmatras. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Mind wants that. And that is why mind wants this sound, touch, smell, taste and form. Mind wants it. And it takes a shelter of them. And once it has got its shelter, it goes into one world to another. That's true, isn't it? From world of sound, it goes to the world of touch. World of touch, it goes to the world of smell. World of smell, it goes to the world of taste. Keeps on traveling from one world to another world. They are all different worlds. The world of smell, the world of taste, the world of touch, the world of form. These are all different worlds. And mind wants to enter into all these worlds by taking shelter of the senses. Taking the shelter of the senses. That is what is mentioned here. That it go, loka, he says, loka lokam prayati. From one world to another world, it travels. Loka lokam prayati. And not only that, suppose the mind creates all the different worlds. If you say that, we won't easily understand. The mind actually creates all different worlds. All different worlds. So, or in other words, mind won't let you understand. You understand things with the mind. Isn't it? You understand things with the mind. But if you say to the mind, look, you are traveling from one world to another world, mind won't let you understand that. Mind plays with us all the time, in one way or the other. So, that is why this mind is a very difficult thing to understand. The mind, how this mind works, it's a very interesting thing. If you, in the Viveka Chudamani, it says like this, that the way the mind comes out from inside. Mahyasti avidya manasodi riktam manohya vidya bhavabhanda hetu tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam vijrumbhidasmin sakalam vijrumbhade. The way mind comes out from the chit shakti, it is called vijrumbhanam. This vijrumbhanam is the word used in the shastra. Vijrumbhanam means that the way that the mind manifests, the manifestation is called Vijrambhana. So it says here, outside the mind, there is no avidya, ignorance. The ignorance is only in the mind, isn't it? And the mind is therefore called, another word is avidya. Another name for mind is called avidya. And this avidya or the mind is the cause of the bondage of transmigration. It is happening, transmigration happening due to this thing called mind. That's what Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And slowly Krishna is taking us to Bhikshu Gita, because Bhikshu Gita is all about the mind. Bhikshu Gita is all about the mind. And here Krishna is saying also that this mind, which has come from the Chit Shakti, it's called Vijrambhanam, the manifestation of the mind. Every morning he comes, isn't it? Every morning he comes regularly, every single day. Whether you are sick or not sick, doesn't matter, he comes. In the deep sleep, he doesn't exist. Only when you wake up in the morning, he wakes up. And he says to you, I am here. And then he starts playing monkey with you, telling you, do this, don't do this, go here, go there, and you are going all day following him, whatever he is telling you. That's what life is all about, isn't it? Our life is this, playing with this, holding this monkey's rope you are carrying, and you are playing, running around with him, and he is jumping, wherever, if he jumps, he also jumps, if he keeps quiet, you keep quiet. So, monkey and us, this mind or monkey and us are very closely connected. That whatever he does, we go along with it. That's our life daily. So, nahis avidya manasodirikta. This avidya or ajnanam is inside this mind. That's where everything is happening. The center, nerve center of all what is going on. Manoshavidya bhavabandha hetu. This mind is the cause of bondage and liberation. Manoshya avidya. This avidya in the mind is causing this bondage as well as the liberation. What we call as liberation or what we call as bondage. Tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. If you have lost your mind, you got rid of all your problems, isn't it? When that is destroyed, everything else is destroyed. That means if you destroy your mind, you have destroyed your so-called transmigration of the soul, karma, vasana, bondage, liberation. Everything is finished then, provided the mind is destroyed. And vijrambhidosmin sakalam vijrambhade. In other words, when it manifests, when it takes birth, everything it brings along with it. It brings the world with it. It brings the ego with it. It brings the intelligence with it. It brings the senses with it. It brings the sense enjoyment with it. It brings attachment and aversion with it. It brings kartrutva, bhoktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer with it. So that is why it said, vijrambhadosmin sakalam vijrambhade. When it manifests, he brings everyone along with it. Whole army comes with it. Isn't it? Whole army comes with it. When he wakes up, when he gets up in the morning. And because people who know these problems, that is why they take drugs and all that. So that somehow or the other, that fellow don't wake up inside and cause all the problems. Or we go into deep sleep state. That's the only solution. So that, because they know there is a demon inside who is causing so much problem for us every day, isn't it? He keeps you busy throughout the life from beginning to end. And then he goes to next body and you go with him. To the next body also. It is not even finished here. And then another body, and another body. Like this, this journey is going on. Mahidya avidya, why? Because that thing called avidya, that is inside this thing called mind. So that's what it is. Mahistya avidya manasodiriktam manohya vidya bhavbandha hedu. And that is why mind is causing the whole problem of bondage and liberation. Tasmin vinashte sakalam vinashtam. If you have lost it, if your mind has gone, everything has gone with it, all problems also gone. And vijambhidosmin sakalam vichrumbade. And when he manifests, everything comes without, on the spot. Promptly, everything manifests at that time. So saying this, Krishna sentions here that the saram vichrumbade. So in other words, it is in this mind that we live. This body I have mentioned before, he is standing in the mind, inside the mind, not mind inside the body. That is a big ajnanamiti. You know, I know it is very difficult to change that understanding. Although I have said this many times, still when you talk to somebody, what will you say? You will say, to my mind, as though the mind is inside, somewhere inside. No, body is standing inside the mind, not mind inside the body. So Krishna is saying here that when you, this body is standing inside the mind, that is the first thing. And because body is standing inside the mind, and if in your mind, if the body goes away, that is called a death. If in your mind, the body goes away, that is called death. And if in your mind a body is born, or if you start identification with another body, that is called birth. It's a completely different understanding, isn't it? Science and the doctor says to us that death is that the body doesn't breathe anymore. Therefore, it's called a death. Or when the breathing stops. Or when a newborn baby, if he is breathing, we say the life has come. Life has come, we say. Krishna is saying that what actually living is the mind. In that mind, the body is living. If the mind has completely forgotten the body, then that's called death. And if the mind is remembering some form or body and then identifies with it, then that is called birth. And because normally we think that body, mind is inside the body. But that you have to take into account is this Jagrat state, vacant state, and Swapnam, dream state, and Sushupti, deep sleep, all three of them belongs to the mind. It belongs to the mind. And mind, when it comes to the vacant state, listen to this carefully. Mind, when it comes to the vacant state, that it projects the body. You have to reverse everything. Everything it is, what do they say in Hindi? Ulta. Our knowledge is all ulta. Ulta means upside down. What we have got at the moment. Isn't it? It's upside down. At the moment you say mind is inside the body. And so many things, all understanding is wrong. That's what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here, body is inside the mind. And these three states of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is also the different levels where the mind operates. Mind operates in those three levels. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is due to mind only. And Krishna has spoken that before, isn't it? He said that Swapnam, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is, he mentioned there as intelligence. Well, when he says sometimes intelligence is mind, that's the way you have to understand. There's no difference. Mind is one word used for all the four together, and similarly, we'll also call mind separately from the other three. That means manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, four things. Out of that, all four, you combine, you can call it as mind. There's only one thing. But based on the function, you call it in three, four different ways. They are not separate on their own. There's only one which came from the Chit Shakti. So, when do you feel that there is a body? When the mind comes to vacant state. So, it projects the existence of the body, gross body, only when the mind comes into the vacant state. Isn't it? When you wake up in the morning from the deep sleep state, who makes you aware of the existence of the body? The mind. So, when the mind projects itself to the Jagrat state, it projects the gross body. So, in other words, the mind has a three-dimensional projection, which is happening there, and that is this body. And another projection of this mind is the dream, like the body. Another projection of the mind is the dream. And when the mind decides to pull the shutter to both these two projections, and it close down both these two projections, then it goes and dissolves. Mind is finished. So only in those two states, vacant state and the dream state, mind projects the gross body, that is one projection, dream state, another projection. Two projections. After that, mind goes. Don't know where he has gone. He's gone somewhere. And at that time, when he pulled the shutter, that is called Sushupti. Is it not? That's clear, isn't it? These three states are clear, no? That when, how the mind is behind everything. Mind projects the gross body in the vacant state. That means that's how we are conscious of the presence of this body. Mind again does the same thing in the dream state. It withdraw from the, it shut down the body, gross body, and projects a lot of dreams inside. Mind does that. Mind creates the dream state, in other words. And later, it shuts down both. This one projection as the body and the another projection as the dream state. Both it shuts down and goes away. And that is Sushupti, deep sleep state. So all the three states are created by the mind. So where does all this happen? It happens in our identity as the soul, Atma. In Atma, all these three things are happening. All these three things are happening in Atma. Due to our avidya and conditioning, we are identifying with the body and think that whatever the, and then we start our education from the body first. So there itself problem. Actually, if you want to start spiritual education, it has to start from the mind, not from the gross body. And this is the way it works. That's what Krishna is saying here. That mind is the one, that is why Krishna's all answers, if you look from now on, and also in the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, it's all around mind, isn't it? All around, spoken about the mind. So, it is this mind that creates the world. It is the mind that creates these three levels of existence, vacant state, dream state, and deep sleep. It's all centered around the mind. Body is centered around the mind. World is centered around the mind. Because when the mind wants to go out, it takes the help of the senses and goes to the world. So the real leader is mind, not the body. Body is one projection in the vacant state. That's all it is, the body. One manifestation of the mind in a gross form that is in the vacant state is called the body, gross body. Another manifestation of the mind in the dream state and another world, another plane is dream state, is another aspect of the mind. And when it closes down both of them, it is called deep sleep. It's called deep sleep and mind goes somewhere, we don't know where it is. Generally, it is understood that it goes to Chit Shakti, where it came from. But in the vacant state, when the mind has projected the body, it uses this body to go to the world. How? It senses. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. Mind uses that and mind wants to enjoy the world. That is when the sense objects keeps coming to the mind, mind goes to the sense objects. You remember the 13th chapter? Hamsa Gita. This is what was discussed. How this connection between the mind and the sense objects, how does it work? That was the question. The Kumaras asked that question and Brahma could not reply that. And then Krishna comes as Hamsa and Swan and says about it. This Hamsa Gita is all about that. So again there, mind is the center point. Here also, mind is the center point. From mind everything begins. You have to always take in this way only. only then you will understand what Krishna is saying in the remaining chapters also. So when mind creates all these different levels of experience, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and in the Jagrat state also experience of the world, all these things. Similarly, if mind gets to know about any particular sense objects, mind will go after that. That's also mind does. If it finds something interesting through some senses brought some knowledge about some sense enjoyment to the mind, mind will go and see if it's giving some pleasure to the mind. If it's giving some pleasure, mind will make the decision to go after that. This is also mind does. Mind will does. And it is this mind, again, is called a jiva. See, mind itself is a jiva. This one which is fallen away from its original thing. Original thing is Atma, isn't it? He doesn't need any knowledge. He doesn't need any experience in this world. He doesn't want, he is not temporary. He doesn't have birth and death. He doesn't have any of the problems what the mind has got. As soon as you identify with the mind, that means if you are not identifying with the self, your identification with the mind does all these things. It creates Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. It takes you to the world. Sense objects will somehow, mind gets in touch with them through the body. Body itself has come from the mind. And whatever experience it has got about a particular sense object, mind decides whether to go after that or not. And then mind starts its journey. And that's our life, basically. That's our life. So, according to your sankalpam, or according to your imagination inside, then all these living entities are born and dying, Krishna is saying. You see, how, depending on your imagination, depending on your sankalpam inside the mind, all living entities are born and then they die. That is the way Krishna puts it here. Now you know how birth happens. That's what Krishna is saying. That in a subtle level, according to our vasanas, what we have created, karmam, karma vasana and all that, which is nothing but deposited inside the mind, and the mind makes a decision that I want to have this kind of life, some desire builds up inside, depending on the power of those vasanas, accordingly, a material body is manufactured for use, either for enjoying or suffering in this world. Suffering in this world. And that is how the gross body has come. And similarly, when it doesn't want to use this gross body, mind decides to go into another state called dream state. And in that dream state, the mind creates all these things inside the mind is created with the help of Atma. All that what it creates, and then it identifies with that and try to enjoy there also. And when it had enough of that, then it shuts down both waking state and the dream state and goes into deep sleep and disappears. It disappears and then comes back again in the morning when you wake up from that. So that mind and jiva, they are non-different. You must always look at it this way. Don't go by the words, jiva, ahankaram and all that. They are words to explain certain phenomenon, what's going on inside. In reality, vastu is one. Vastu is one. So, mind and jiva, they are one and the same. And it is the same thing what is called ego. And it's the same thing what another place, Krishna uses the word hridaya granthi. Remember that word hridaya granthi? Vidyate hridaya granthi. Chidyande sarvasamshayaha kshiyande chasya karmani drishtvaye valpani ishvare. That hridayagrandhi is what? This mind. Mind, hridayagrandhi, ahankaram, intelligence, it's all one thing only. That is what he's saying here. So and this is the same vastu, this same thing called mind. This is what carries the jiva into the next life, who carries him with him, which means the life. Yeah, the life with him. And that is what he is saying here in the, if you look into the 38th verse. Vishaya bhinivesena നാൽപാനം യൽസ്മരേ പുനഃ ജന്ധോർ വൈ കസ്യചിദ്ധേദോർ മൃത്യോ അത്യന്ത വിസ്മൃതി വിഷയാഭിനിവേശേന നാൽപാനം യത്സ്മരേത് പുനഃ ജന്ധോർ വൈ കസ്യചിദ്ധേദോർ മൃത്യോ അത്യന്ത വിസ്മൃതി. We have discussed that verse before, but I'll keep repeating that again, that Vishaya Abhinivesena, once the mind has found some sense enjoyment in this world, it will go after that and then bring that desire to enjoy that in mind. It will grow inside the mind and that vasana will get stronger. Chittavritti and vasana, samskaram, vasana, like that, it will become very strong inside. A particular enjoyment in this world. That is called Vishaya Abhinivesham. Vishaya Abhinivesham is that. Vishaya Abhinivesham Nalpanam Yasmaret Punaham. But like this, we have in different bodies and different lifetimes, we have collected a lot of vasanas, and they are all inside this thing called mind. And in order to get rid of them from inside, we have to go through what is known as prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. So prarabdha karma does that. It takes away a small part of that deposited vasanas inside and builds a body based around that small part, what it has taken out from the karma vasana, and allows the jiva to experience that result of that karma in that particular body. In that particular body. When this body is finished, depending on how much vasanas left, whichever may be the most powerful vasana inside, accordingly mind will generate another body. Mind will generate another body to go through that vasana. So like this, mind, vasanas and the body, three things are always at work. The body is required for experiencing the vasanas. And vasanas are already inside the mind. And mind's responsibility is to make sure that to fulfill those vasanas, the suitable body is provided. So the mind does that. Mind does that. And you can see this when we say that sometimes you will observe that various types of bodies are existing in this world. And this is how it happens, Krishna is saying here. And because there is attachment to the sense objects, we don't remember about Atma. Mind doesn't remember about Atma. That is what has happened to the mind. And it is going from, the mind is busy in going from one topic to another topic, one enjoyment to another enjoyment. And finally one day, this moving from one enjoyment to another enjoyment, or one body to another body, which means one body to another body. One enjoyment to another enjoyment means one body to another body, because one body is created for a certain type of desires what you have built up. Once that is finished, another set of desires that has come manifested inside the mind, mind will prepare another body. So what Krishna is saying here, Vishaya Abhinivesena Alpanam Yat Smaret Puna. But because of that Abhinivesham, Abhinivesham means this strong attachment inside, that one topic to another topic, one enjoyment to another topic, another enjoyment, you keep on going, therefore you keep on moving from one form of body to another form of body. But then he says here, Atyanda Vismriti, Atyanda Smriti. So if you are able to once for all forget about everything, then that about the body itself, if you wanted to forget about it, then if you are able to do that, then that is called death, Krishna is saying here. And in other words, practically in Krishna's point of view, both birth and death is happening inside the mind. If you remember that, it will be very good. Birth and death is happening inside the mind, isn't it? Not in the body. Birth and death is not happening in the body, it's happening inside the mind. Because that is where really body has taken birth. And that is where you have changed the body also. And all the vasanas that is creating this body, that is all the godown or the storage is in the mind. Is it not? That is what Krishna is saying here. In these coming verses, all he is going to explain that. Particularly, jandovair kasyajidhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. These are all interesting things to think through, because otherwise, completely remaining in the identification with the body and to come to the platform of the soul is not possible. Isn't it? We have to move away from the body. Body is not our identity. That is what point Krishna is again repeatedly stressing this. Body has nothing to do with you. Body is not the important thing. Otherwise, how will knowledge come? How will renunciation come? If you keep on identifying with the body, it's a very difficult thing to come out of this body. It's not so simple as we think about it. And that is why Krishna is saying here that if you have understood this principle, at least in principle you should understand that the body is taking birth inside the mind. Body is dying also inside the mind. And body is again taking birth inside the mind. Everything is happening inside the mind. That's the point Krishna is stressing here. And if that process is stopped inside the mind, then death is finished. Birth is finished. You have transcended both birth and death. So practically Krishna is saying, birth and death is inside the mind. Birth and death is inside the mind. Don't you think about logically and see whether it's correct or not. For example, does anyone remember about their birth? Nobody remembers about their birth, isn't it? And it's only to us now, somebody tells you happy birthday. I have to celebrate now. That's all it is. Is it not? So when somebody tells you, you feel you are born. Otherwise, what, where in your memory you have this knowledge of your birth? From where did this come? Because somebody has told you. Either society has told you or somebody else has told you that you were born on such and such a day and you have to celebrate. So we start celebrating. So happy birthday and all that we say to people. But has anyone got any memory of their birth? Who remembers about their birth? Not only birth, you can't even remember many things what happened when we were born. Isn't it? You don't remember anything about the birth, do you? So birth is actually happened where? In the mind it has happened. In the mind it has happened. So when you say that, we keep saying birth, where did that happen, this birth? And it's a happening, but it's a happening in the consciousness. It is in your consciousness that birth has happened. Or the birth of the body has happened in your consciousness. So if anything has to happen like that, if it has to happen inside your consciousness. So if you say the birth is about the false ego, abhimanam or pride, then again the question comes, where was this pride? Like the body. Again you can ask the same question. Where did it take birth? Because when you go to deep sleep, it is not there. It is not there in the deep sleep. Because in the deep sleep itself, that this ego is dissolving and then it comes out again later. Is it not? It comes out again later. So whenever it likes and when it dies, whenever it wants, when it goes to deep sleep, it goes. It's not there. And so it disappears, isn't it? So when you go beyond this personality, if you go beyond the personality, it's called death. It's called death. That is what Krishna is saying there. He says, jando vai kasya chiddhedor mrityu atyanda visprati. Mrityu atyanda visprati. Where does that happen? In the mind. In the mind it happens. Isn't it? Mrityu atyanda vismriti. So, Vishayabhinivesena Atmanam Yasmaret Punaha Jando Verkasejit Dedor Mrityu Atyanda Vismadi.
So, this is death and birth and death, Krishna is saying. Birth and death is this. So, here, Mrityu Atyanda Vismadi. Then Krishna is asking, is there a thing called death really? Is there such a thing called death? If you are talking about body is concerned, if you are talking about body, then how many times the body is dead? This body what we have got now, it has gone through so many changes, isn't it? It has been dying all along your life. The body has been dying, new body was taking birth, body was dying, new body was taking birth. And if you are talking about the body, many times the body is dead already and you don't have the old body anymore. And every cell is taking birth and dying. Cells are taking birth and dying. So which is this death then? Which one do you call death? And whose death is it you are talking about? Who is dying? If you start thinking in this way, if you start thinking about all these things before the body goes, then there is no thing called death. And this understanding, getting that right inside is important. And that is why after saying whole of Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, Shuka Brahmarshi says to him, my dear Parikshit, you don't have death. It is on this principle. This verse 38 or 39. Vishaya abhinivesena nalpmanam yat smaret punaha jandova kasije dedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. It is based on this verse. Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit, you have no death. That means Shuka Brahmarshi is clear, Parikshit is also clear. Shuka Brahmarshi was clear before, but Parikshit has also got clear now that there is no such thing called death. And that is why he says to him, Tomtu Rajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi. Remember in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto, that this thing called death is also all in your imagination. Sankalpa Mandalam. Tomtu Rajan Marishyedi, that you are going to die is Pashubuddhi. Realized person will never say that he is dying. It is Pashubuddhi. Animals, like anyone who thinks he is dying, he is an animal. Shuka Brahmarshi uses strong words. Tantu Rajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi. If you change this understanding, what Krishna has spoken in this word, if you have done sufficient Shravana Manana Nidhyasanam on these verses, what Krishna is talking about, and we have come in the same way like our Parikshit has realized the truth. Krishna is saying, this is all what Shuka Brahmarshi has spoken to Parikshit, nothing else. Finally, Shuka Brahmarshi convinced Parikshit, there is no such thing called death. Death is for the body. And body is something that's come from the mind and you are not the body. All that. And he says to him, Tumtu Rajan Marishyeti, that I will die. This understanding is Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means animal intelligence, not very good intelligence. And please remove that, he says, Imam Jahi. Remove it from inside. And that is how in the 12th chapter canto, you will see how when this is how that 5th chapter is called Brahmopadesham. That is the name of that chapter. Why it is a very small chapter. There's only 11 or 12 verses I think in there. And you will notice one interesting thing there is that the 13 verses, he says to him that Tundurajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi Na Jadaha, you are not born. Pragabodhya Dehavatvam Tanangshasi, you can't get a clearer than this, isn't it? You can't get a clear statement than this from Shuka Brahmarshi. You don't die. If we can get this, what he is saying, into our realization, we have escaped death. That's all. You have escaped death. Then you won't experience death. You won't experience birth again. You don't have to lament when somebody is dying. You don't have to feel
miserable about it. You escape from the problem of birth, death, old age, disease, everything, once for all. And that is why he's saying here, Tuntirajan, my dear king, Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jehi, remove that Pashubuddhi from inside. Na Jadaha, you are not even born. Praga Bodhadya Jadaha, no, na Mangshyasi. And body has only born now, it has taken this form. But you are not born like that. You are always existing. Body came later. You are already there before. You are existing all the time. In other words, the same principle what Krishna is saying in these words, Shiva Brahma, she is putting to Parikshit in a different way. Saying to him that, Prag Buddha Adya Jado Na Asitasma Dehavat Na Nangshyasi. He's saying here, you are not like the body. Body has come recently and that's going now. Why worry about it? But you are not like that, he says. In other words, very clearly, Shiva Brahma she made him realize that he is not this body. And you will not go like the way body is going. So that is why that chapter is important. That fifth chapter, Brahmavadesham. That's the final. Bhagavadam finishes there with that. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivastava Bodhata Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you. Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radharamana hari Govinda jaya jaya Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radharamana hari Govinda jaya jaya Radharamana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Govala Jaya Jaya Radharamana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Jaya Jaya Govara Jaya Jaya Hare Rama, Hare Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya Govara Jaya Jaya Hare Rama.
Jai Sita Ram, Jai Sita
Prabhupada.